am I on? Hey, it's been great to be here, but I want to beat this bell, so I'm going to get right on into the message. Amen? Someone mentioned it, but I believe when God made the promise way back to Abraham that he was planning on the children of Israel to conquer, to go in and possess the land of Canaan. I do not understand Canaan as a type of heaven, but rather I see it as a type of Christian victory. Folks, we need victory in our heart. Amen? And not this false confidence that we have, that we see so much of. All the children have had to do, all they had to get victory, possess it, all they had to do was to appropriate it by faith. Amen? God was going to take care of all the things, all the problems, but they had to appropriate it by faith. So Moses sent 12 spies to search out this land. Now I'm assuming, do you know the names of the two positive spies? Who? I was in the church and I asked them if they knew, and they sat there like sticks. The preacher didn't even know who they were. So I thought, well, we'll try that tonight. But anyway, how many of you know the names of the other 10 spies? All right, let's turn to the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, and I'm going to give them to you. Now, you know they came back with a bad report. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what, I think churches are sending out a bad report today because they don't have the victory they ought to have. And they're more concerned about what I call spiritual incest, ministering to themselves, than they are reaching the lost world for Christ. So we find the names of these people. What we're going to do tonight, if you'll allow me the privilege of doing it, I think about things, you know, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the Word. But how many of you would like to hear the evil report? You ever think about the evil report? I want to know what happened. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We preach on the good report, but that was a bad report. Sure. And I want to know why they didn't go over and conquer the land. And I want to parallel that with today's church as to why we're not getting the job done for God. Amen? Yeah, right. So let's think about it. In chapter 13, and down about verse 4, and the names of the tribes of Reuben, pick out a prince. And his name was Shamgar. Now, let's just ask him, what did you find when you went over into that land? Did you not find that God promised? And all the things that he promised was there? Yeah. But he said, you know, I'm just not sure that God knew what he was talking about. I'm just not sure God can deliver. And I just can't make up my mind which way to go. I don't know whether to serve God or just what, or sit here, go back, whatever. By that time, somebody hollered out, yeah, you're just like your daddy, Reuben. You're unstable as water. A lot of preachers unstable as water today because they're not sure of what God said. Amen? But I want you to know God's true. God is faithful. Let every man be a liar, but God is true. Amen? And then from the tribe of Simeon, the Shaphat, get up here and tell us. Well, I think we ought to compromise. I think we ought to, you know, that old Mosesology, them old books he was writing back there. We don't need them old books. Let's just get somebody to write us a few new Bibles, and we won't offend them. You know, we won't. We'll get away from that blood, that old gory sacrifices that God talks about. There ain't nobody want to hear that no way. And we'll just give them something easier. Amen? That's what the world is. That's what the church world is doing today, folks. They're compromising the Word of God. Amen. I'll guarantee you, God's not pleased with it. Amen. No wonder they got discouraged. And then from the tribe of Issachar, if you look at it, Igal said, let's just entertain them. Let's go get some movie stars and bring them in here. Let's get some weightlifters and bring them in here. Amen. And you know, they might like us, and not, they won't hurt us. You know, we won't have to fight.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. We got a church that's a weightlifting church.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you right now, folks, things are going on inside the church. Yeah. Moses and them turn over in their grave, honey.
Yes,
amen.
Yeah.
And you got to entertain the children. No, you ain't got to entertain the children. No. Teach them the Word of God. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just be faithful with the Word of God. Then from the tribe of Benjamin, he had to be the first Baptist. He said, I'll tell you what, let's do, fellas. Let's just organize. Let's set us up some committees. And we'll do a little soul winning when we get over there. But let's get us this Roman road and write it down. And write a prayer. Say this prayer after me and you saved. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, all the organization in the world won't do what one drop of the shed blood of the Lamb of God will do for the salvation of a soul, amen? But you know what I'm talking about, amen? You can almost hear the clanking of the machinery in the churches. I mean, it makes me sick. Don't you know it makes God sick, amen? The next one was Zebulun, a fellow named Gad. He was at least honest. He said, I think we'll run and hide. Yeah. Hey, that's what the church has done, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we say, hold the fort, and we gather up our skirts of righteous indignation, you know, and we're doing all. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We ought to be leading the assault against the devil and all of his works in the world that we're living in today, according to the Word of God. But no, listen to me, folks. We get these committees and we hide in our little holes in our churches and we don't go out and reach people. Amen. And then Joseph, from the tribe of Joseph, came a fellow by the name of Gadai. Well, he said, I tell you what, you guys are not intellectual enough. He said, we need to set up some psychiatric clinics. And we need to start training our preachers to be counselors. You show me in the Word of God. Hey, amen? Isn't that where we are today? We're not getting preachers, the boys called to preach. I was so glad to see this here today. Goodness sake, don't go to school to become a counselor. Go to school to become a preacher, amen? We need to preach the Word of God. And I saw a sign the other day that said, you need counseling? See me. God. Hey, he's still in the counseling business. Huh? Yeah? And God can solve your problem and meet your need. You just need to let God take over. Amen. Get on the couch with God. I guarantee he'll straighten you out. And then from the tribe of Dan, there was a man by the name of Amamiel. He said, well, we need to educate them. You know, we've tried that, haven't we, folks? We need to get them smart in the Word of God. You know, we need to teach them the Greek and the Hebrew and get them where they can get up there and say a bunch of stuff that nobody understands, even the one that's preaching it. Amen. And that's where we are today. We got these seminaries all over the United States as bad as spiritual as a pig, and the people that are coming out there don't know their top from the bottom. Amen. They know the Greek, but what does that mean to us? I don't know Greek. Amen. I'll give me the word. And here's the word right here. Amen. That's all we need. But you know most churches won't call you if you haven't got a B.A., Ph.D., Ph.D. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, fellow? Amen. My daddy used to call them educated fools. From the tribe of Asher, there was a fellow by the name of Sether. What do you say, Sether? We just too weak. Church doesn't have the power. I'm going to tell you something, folks. One man and God is a majority.
Amen.
I want you to know you can do anything. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Amen? Now it's time that the church realize that we are the conquering force. We are the conquering power. We can conquer this thing called the world. We can conquer sin. We can conquer the dominion of the devil if we just get off our pews. And then from the tribe of Naphtali, there's a fellow named Nabi. He said, oh, I tell you what, if we go over and just love them, well, I love you. And if they sure going, when they hear that we love them, they're going to melt, turn everything over to us, and we're going to skip off like Little Red Riding Hood. Well, you know, hey, there's a church down in Houston. Said he ain't going to preach nothing that makes people uncomfortable. Amen? Have you ever looked at it? I can understand that. I don't believe he's got a lick of spirit, do you? Huh? I ain't naming a name, but I'm telling you, I believe he's got lace on his underclothes. I don't know which one the woman, him or his wife, do you? Hey, I'm telling you, preachers, we don't need to be sissies, but we need to be captains and soldiers of the faith, because there's people out there dying and going to hell, and it's time the church stood up and be counted for God and stop this wimpy business. I saw the other day, talking about this church you women are forming. There was a lady preacher came on our church, our radio. And here's what she said. Now this is garbage that's coming out of some preacher's mouth. She said that God owed everybody who hurt, had a problem, had a heartache, God owed them an apology. And of course, before I could cut the radio off, while she'd done put another eye in somebody's head, you know, one of them kind. Hey, you can love people, but you've got to be honest with them. Amen. Amen. And then from the tribe of Gad, there was a fellow named Jael. He said, I tell you what, let's do. Let's change our order of services. I mean, let's get us some these scrolls that come down off the wall. You know. And let's get some, quit singing that stuff about the old rugged cross. Amen? Start singing that hip-hop stuff. You know, I mean, get it on. Get in the groove, you know. And swing and sway with Sammy K. Hey, don't hear about that fella. That farmer went to the city. And he went to one of those churches. And he came back. And his wife said, well, how was it? He said, well, it was different. Said, they sing different from us. Said, what? She said, well, he said, well, we sing hymns and they sing contemporary music. She said, well, what is the difference between hymns and contemporary music? He said, well, you know how we sing on a hill far away. Yeah? He said, they would kind of sing their song like this. Mary, there is a white cow in your garden. Mary, did you know that there's a white cow in your garden? Mary, 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 there's a white cow in your garden. Do it about 500 times. You know, folks, that's the dumbest music I've heard tell in my life. It does absolutely nothing for me. And then they take out the altar, the altars, and they take out the pulpit. I went to church. If I'm lying, I'm dying. There wasn't nothing on the stage. And I thought, what am I into? And they flipped down something off the wall. And man, they started singing. And then women stood up and they started giving some of that Cleopatra stuff. And I thought, hallelujah. You know, and all of a sudden, one of them passed out and hit the floor. And I said, uh-oh, buddy, you in the wrong place. I thought. But you know it's the truth, amen? That's the evil report. Now, that's in my mind, but probably like that. But let's look at the good report. Judah, you remember Caleb from the tribe of Judah? The Bible said he tore his clothes, rent his clothes, pleading with the people to do that which was right.
Amen.
Amen? And of course, Joshua, listen, from the tribe of Ephraim. What did God promise these people? God promised them victory in every hand. I want you to know, Christian, God has promised you victory in your life. God has not only promised you victory for your church, but God has promised you personal victory in your life. Many Christians are struggling with something in their life they need to get under the blood. And you know what? When you complain and gripe, you know what you're telling the world out there? I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe He can do what He says He can do. Amen. I don't trust Him to do what He says He can do. Amen. Let me tell you something. What did they find? Found grapes so big. I mean, they were so big it took two men to carry one bunch. Now, honey, that's a bunch of grapes. Did you know? And then pomegranates. And then big old figs. Who was that preacher preaching? I was sitting on a fig tree. Man, you couldn't hardly sit on one of them fig trees. If it settled and dropped on your head, you'd be out of here. What he was saying was, I have spiritual blessings for you. Church, God has blessings for you, but you're going to have to get that problem. You're going to have to get that need under the blood. And you're going to have to trust God and believe God that He's going to give you victory. I've seen Christians cry about their children being lost. It's all right, but you should get over it. Give it to God. Amen. Trust God. Believe God. God's working on the other end. Amen. I've seen Christians who have sin in their life. You mark it down, honey. God is not going to coexist with sin. You hear me? I don't care what you say, what you believe. God is not going to coexist with sin. Amen. Listen to me. I believe with all my heart that what the world needs is not a philosopher. The world doesn't need a bunch of preachers with ideas. But the world needs a mighty God that can get down in a man's heart and bust up that sin and deliver that man from sin and give him victory over that sin. I don't care what your sin is. God is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely able to do about that what you can ask Him. What about habits? Well, you don't hear much about habits anymore, do you? I went to this out visiting. This lady said,
"You Baptists are pretty good, but y'all don't go far enough."
Of course, you know how to tell a level-headed woman in Arkansas? If both corners are the same. Amen. Snuff. Now I said to myself, "Honey, if you got what I think you got, you ain't got what I want." Amen. I believe God can give you victory over habits. You're not going to be a witness to God without Him. Some of you hide them too. I know that. Amen. Your secret's in, but I want you to know God wants to deliver you from your habit. How do you know? Because God delivered me. Amen. God wants to do something with your attitude. I heard some of you preachers talking about, "Boy, you got some of these deacons, men and women in the churches that got the attitude of a junkyard dog." You know? Now, y'all may not have pastored the churches I did. I pastored, I think I told somebody one time, I pastored two and refereed three. But anyway, you know, you preachers know what I'm talking about, don't you, fellas? I mean, just mean spirit, nasty. And some of you take pride in being ugly and mean-spirited. You need to let God deliver you from that. You're not going to be a witness. You're not going to champion the cause of Christ with a bad attitude, honey. You just simply ain't going to do it. But I'm here to tell you that God can deliver you from a bad attitude. He did, old Brother Shaw. I had to throw that in there. Hey! And then God can deliver you from despair. You know, I go all over the country, and you know what I hear? A bunch of preachers whining. Some of them making $500 a week. Some of them got a nice parsonage. But the people don't appreciate how much education they got. And the people don't appreciate how talented they are. And the people don't appreciate what they've got. So they just going to get mad, pick up their model, and go get another church. And find the same situation there. Amen. I want you to know, folks, that God can get you over that despair. And God can give you victory over your despair. But you're going to have to believe God. Come, they said, Joshua and Caleb said, come on, let's go, fellas. Let's take it. Let's take victory. And we can do that tonight in our spiritual life if we'll just make up our mind that God wants to give us victory. Amen. And then discouragement. That's a tool of the devil. Did you know what? And I just love it when they come to me and say, oh, brother, I'm so discouraged. You don't get discouraged. No! Why? Because of the God I serve. He's the God who preached it. Joy. Amen? And what was the joy he was talking about? He was talking about the joy of doing God's will. Amen? You get to the place where you do God's will, you're going to have joy. You're going to get over despair and get busy for God. Stop sitting around doing nothing. Amen? Y'all follow me around about a week, you'd be so tired you wouldn't be able to walk. I'm 75, honey. But let me tell you where it's all at. There's a town in Arkansas called Smackover. Any of you heard of it? Smackover, Arkansas. Well, I've got a friend that's got 99 oil wells. And when I get back home, he's got one drill. He's going to perforate it, whatever that means. And I'm going down. And I told him, I said, brother, I'm praying. He might give me one. I said, I'm praying God will make this a gusher. You've seen these movies where they come out, man, they just blow out. And everywhere they just take over everything. I believe that's the way God wants our lives to be. So I asked him, I said, what is a smack over. I want to be there. I want to see that oil just fly up in the air. He said, preacher, now he didn't know what I'm fixing to tell you what it meant. He said, preacher, the oil has no power within itself. He said, it's the gas up under the oil that explodes and throws that oil out of that thing. Derek, I think is what it's called. But folks, I want you to know that the Holy Ghost of God can get under you and he can cause you to explode for God. And some of you need to explode for God. Amen? Amen! I want you to know that we ought to be like Joseph's bow. The Bible said his bowels went over the wall. Amen. God wants you to get out of your pew and out of your seat and get out here and do something for God. But you're not going to do it if you don't have victory. Hope that God can empower you through the power of the Holy Ghost. Most Christians are not filled with the Holy Spirit. But you'll never be effective until you keep the commandment. Be ye not drunk with wine, where is that excess? But be ye filled. Yeah, I've heard him say, oh, brother, oh, I got all the spirit I need. But why ain't you doing something for God? Huh? Besides, I can show you after Pentecost where they'd have a prayer meeting or something and the Holy Ghost would come upon them. What was it? It was a refreshing, a refueling. Folks, you've got to have a refueling from the Holy Ghost of God. You've got to have that power, that momentum that will lift you up and get you busy for God if you're going to be effective for Him. You know the problem? We don't appropriate it by faith. You know, there may be someone here tonight who's never appropriated what God has for him. There may be a reason for that. There may be something that has short-circuited your relationship with God. And you're not going to get the full power and the full victory until you get it right with God. Amen. How many of you be willing to say, I want God to get under me?
cause my life to explode and be used for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
God bless you.